Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord? Now, I want you to do me a favor. You know, I don't like to see these seats empty. And I would like you, every time you come to church and you see a seat that is empty, you know, behind you, try to occupy it. So as you high five somebody who is sitting next to you, stand up on your feet, pick up your bags, and occupy the seat that is in front of you. Can we do that right now? Praise the Lord. And as you do that, as you obey in church, the Lord bless you. Amen. Can we do that? Amen. Do that. Do that, please. Praise the Lord. High five somebody who is standing next to you. Greet them. Tell them Jesus loves you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whoa. Praise Jesus. Amen. It is good to see some people that I've not seen in a while. We sent Sister Joyce to Kenya, and here she is. Good to see you, my sister. Praise the Lord. I know we'll give you some time during the announcements time so that you can greet the church. Also, we have a friend of mine that I've really missed for a long, long time. We talk on a daily basis, sometimes three times a day. Kent Kirago! Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to see you, man. I love you, man. Thank you, Jesus, for you bringing you to the house of the Lord. And I thank you for protecting each and every one of us. I'm excited for what the Lord has done. Amen. And for the Lord, what the Lord is doing in 2014. I'm really, really excited that God is going to do great things in 2014. How many of you feel like there's something happening in the spiritual realm? You don't know what is happening, but you feel something is stirring up in the spiritual realm. Amen? How many of you feel like that? Amen. We are gonna push. There used to be this thing they used to say in Africa, push, you know, pray until something happens. You know, so if, you know, they used to ask somebody, where are you going? They used to tell them, I'm going to a push meeting. I'm going to pray until something happens. Amen. And then just before I bring the word of the Lord, let me tell you, you know, in the life in the Lord is really amazing, because when you think that you know something, then you just realize that, you know, sometimes the Lord wants to bring you to a level whereby the things that you thought you knew, You really are not really well accomplished. And to be honest with you, I gave my life to the Lord way back, I think, in 1985. And then things happened. I just dwindled, you know, into a believing. And then I rekindled my life again, and then continued to commit my life to the Lord. And throughout my life, I knew that God would do things through prayer. And I've been involved in meetings whereby, you know, like, some of you know that, you know, we ministered once, you know, with evangelist Teresia Werimo. I used to be her interpreter. And I've seen God, you know, I've seen prayer do mighty things. I've seen even personal things that I prayed for and God bringing them to pass. And I've seen, you know, I've witnessed with my eyes, you know, people being prayed for, you know, and they receive their healing on a crusade stadium. But you know, this past few months, the Lord has really unveiled another dimension of prayer that I didn't know. It's kind of like the Lord came and you know, peeled off another layer that I didn't know. It's not that I didn't know that prayer does things, but you know, for me to get engaged into a spiritual warfare and to see what God is able to do, and kind of like the Spirit of God convicting me that this is exactly what can happen if you pray without ceasing. Praise the Lord. There are certain things that you may not really understand unless the Holy Spirit gets inside of you and reveals some stuff. See, the Word of God is the Word of God is active and alive. This Word is alive. Praise the Lord. And then the Lord was telling me the other day about what the Bible says about faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. You know, sometimes we think that it's when you hear the word and you hear it many, many times, that's how faith comes. But I've come to realize that faith not only comes by you hearing the word of the Lord, but it is by you hearing that word and applying yourself to it. When you see things happen as a result of the word of the Lord, that's when now faith comes. You know, like when you declare a certain word in the word of the Lord, like, you know what? I am a victor. I am not defeated. I'm occupying this place. You know, you can make declarations even through the word of the Lord. But when you apply yourself to it and you see the effectiveness or the word of the Lord being articulated in your life, that's when faith comes. It is not because, you know what? You can read the word of the Lord from January to December. And how many of you know that you do not just acquire faith?
But when you hear faith, when you hear the word of the Lord and we apply ourselves to the word, that's when faith comes. Like, for example, you might be trusting God, like you gave us a testimony, Pastor, about in the beginning of the year when, you know, you trusted God, you know, for God to give you an equipment, you know, so that you could do work. You were paying $2,000 and you prayed and you applied yourself by believing the word of the Lord. And now when God came back answering the prayer through the word of the Lord, now faith came through that. Now you are able to face a mountain or any other hurdle in your life, just because of the experience. You're able to tell the Lord, Lord, if you are able to do this thing for me, what is this ahead of me? What is this in front of me? Praise be to God. That is how faith will come. Faith will come by us. We have to get connected with this word, but not just get connected to this word, but we have to apply ourselves to. Let this word work in your life. Are you listening to me? When we allow this word to work in our lives, that is how faith is going to be incorporated into our lives. Praise be to God. Now, a few weeks ago, I want to redeem our time, and I want us to be productive in the few minutes that I have. We started tackling about the things that the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me about, the things that would hinder us or impede our progress, even as we sojourn or as we experience 2014. Now, if it's not known to you, I know you have set goals. Some of you have written goals down, and your determination or your whatever your aspiration is, that those goals may be fulfilled in your lives. But even as we walk in this life, there are things that are bound to happen, and some of those things that happen to us may be good things, and there are some things that would happen in our lives that are bad things. Now, the Bible tells us that we should not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 11. This is what Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, and he was telling them, let us not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy, lest Satan should take an advantage of us. He was talking to the Corinthians about forgiveness, and he was telling them that, you know, some things I've forgiven you. And I've forgiven you because you also have forgiven me of things that I may not be aware. But I forgave you because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that he has given unto me, lest I fail to forgive you and the devil takes advantage, and I want to be aware of the devices of the enemy. So I want you to know that as long as you are born again, you are enrolled, you are a militia. Some say I'm a militia in God's army. Come on, everybody say that. I'm a militia in God's army. Whether you know it or you do not know it, you are constantly engaged in a spiritual warfare. We are engaged in a spiritual conflict. And the Bible tells us that our conflict is not just by physical. Our weaponry of war are not physical. We don't take an AK-47 and go shooting everybody, you know, shooting demons. Sometimes we do not even see those demons. But the conflict that we are engaged in constantly, child of God, is a spiritual warfare. So you need to know that you are a spiritual, you're a militia engaged in a spiritual warfare constantly. And let me tell you, there are etiquettes, what they call etiquettes of war. You know, the rules of engagement. The U.S. Army or any other army of any other country doesn't just pick up people randomly within its, you know, its citizenry and takes them to battle. You know, when you are enrolled into the army of any other country, the first thing that they do, they first of all check your background. And after they check your background, they take you to what they call a boot camp. Do you know what happens in a boot camp? Oh my goodness. You know, I hope Mrs. Mashere will come and tell us what happens in a boot camp. Because what I grew up actually around an army camp in London. That's where I grew up, you know, as a young boy. And let me tell you, I used to see the army officers just run miles and miles. And as they were going, they were saying, oh, hey, oh, 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 just to keep them, to maintain them. And let me tell you, no one would be left below them. They were trained, because this is what exactly would happen in an environment of war. So they are taught how the etiquettes of war, the rules of engagement. Now, I know most of you love football, right? Yes. Oh, and by the way, any one of you who wants to come to my house today, you know, I know this might be a late notice, but I welcome you to. We just want to hang out, okay? If you don't have anywhere to go, if you didn't have anywhere to go, come to my house today.
Yes, we have a goat. Yes, Kent, we have a goat. Praise the Lord. Now, listen. I don't want you to lose the thought of because of a goat. Our people, Julius. Okay, I'm really excited about what I'm speaking today, so I want you to give me your attention. See, the Cowboys or the Eagles or the Detroits and the New England. By the way, which teams are in the Super Bowl? Denver and San Francisco. Yeah, I heard that yesterday. I didn't even know. But anyway, this is exactly what I want you to do. They have what they call a playbook. And the coach owns the playbook. And he delivers the playbook to the players. Now, the playbook of the Cowboys is not supposed to be known if they are fighting against the Detroit Lions. Is it the Detroit Lions? Please excuse my ignorance. Okay. Please don't beat me up. If they're playing with their opposing team, the coach owns the playbook. You have to engage so-and-so. You have to mark Brother Ben because he is strong, and he will not match. If an opponent is strong enough, he will not match it with somebody who is not tactical. In other words, the coach understands the play game of the other team. Do you understand? And so they own. And this is a closely guarded secret. It is not supposed to be revealed to other people. Are you listening to me? Whether it's the Mavericks, whether it is the Rangers, every team plays with a playbook. They own a playbook and they own it. This is the rule of engagement. This is how we are gonna work as a team, and this is how we are gonna win and defeat this other team of the opponents. I have studied their games. We have gone play by play. I have been in a room by myself. The coach tells them, I've been in a room by myself. I know who is the strongest person of this other team, and this is how we are gonna tackle them, and this is the rules, and this is how we are going to engage him. And if we can follow this, the playbook to the T, and cross the I's to the T, and put the dot the I's, surely we are going to win. And they follow the rules. And if they follow the rules to the T, and if the other team hopefully doesn't know or rather really recognize what is happening, they end up winning. Do you know that is the same thing that the Lord has done to us? He tells us, I don't want you to be ignorant of the devices of the enemy, because there are many. There are many devices of the enemy that would hinder our progress. Are you listening to me? Church, are you listening to me? Now, we really need to pull our antennas up so that when we see the devil coming up there and the angel of the Lord coming there, you'll be able to know that is the angel of the devil. That is the angel of God, and I'm waiting for him so eagerly. But you know what? Sometimes, I included, we might find ourselves being fought and being defeated. And not being defeated, being fought from every corner. And we fail to realize that we are engaged in a battle. There are things that might be thrown at you, even from people who really know you so well. People who love you so closely, they just throw a word. But in essence, it is not them who are fighting you, but the enemy uses them. And when we fail to know the devices of the enemy, then we shall be battered all the time. Surely the Bible says that we are not going to be defeated. For the Bible calls us that we are more than conquerors. Are you listening, my sisters? We are more than conquerors. We cannot be defeated. You know, the enemy can mount up all the amount of energies that he has from the kingdom of the enemy. But all he can do is probably knock you out, and you feel like you cannot even go anywhere. But you know how many of you, the Bible tells me that the righteous can fall down 7 times. He can try to throw the arrows at you 7 different times. And every time somebody might come and dismiss you, oh, that one is already gone dead. What happened to Jesus when he went to the cross? The devil started celebrating, thinking that he has conquered Jesus. Oh, and lo and behold, he didn't even, he received the shock of his life to see Jesus going into the Hades and telling him, I need you to give me the keys right now. You thought that you finished me. You thought that you killed me on the cross of Calvary, but lo and behold, I'm here. I'm in the king, in your kingdom right now. And I can lay my, listen, the Bible says that you can lay your bed in hell. He can never do nothing to you. But you know what? We need to be children who are wise. We need to be children who articulate and know the devices of the enemy, because I do not believe a single iota that it is the plan of God for us to be battered every single left and right. Why? Because when you know the devices of the enemy, if I know that this car is going to come and crush me,
I will step aside so that car can zoom off and go where it is going. But if I'm not aware, that car is going to come and give me a very big ding on my left hip. And trust me, I'll be going like this for months, trying to heal. And just because I failed to know the devices of the enemy. Are you listening to me? We started by talking 2 weeks ago about not being scared about pursuing your goals and aspirations because of fear of men. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, we read and we saw that the fear of men is an entrapment, but he who trusts the Lord receives freedom. Praise the Lord. Last week we talked about complaining. Stop complaining. And I thank God people have called me. They have told me that, you know, that they have really been blessed by that message. But you know what? That is kind of letting ourselves being aware of the devices of the enemy. Because, you know, when we complain, we found out that you know what? In while we are serving the Lord, we are bound to receive negative things and we are bound to receive good things in this life. And serving God, Paul, the Bible says that he learned, that's what we saw last week, that he learned how to be content, whether he didn't have anything or whether he had plenty. You remember what we talked about last Sunday? He learned. Church, God is calling us. Sister Monica, God is calling us to learn. There are certain things that are going to, that bad things are just going to happen, and you wonder, why are these things happening? It is just how life is going to be. But God, you know, the Bible says, all things work together for to them that. Now, what do we talk? Sometimes, can we just talk about that? All things work for good. Now, what are all things? All things include everything, right? There could be bad things that will be coming to you, but God says all things work for. You might be praying for something, for a door to open, and you are knocking and knocking and knocking, and that door is not refusing to open. But God is looking ahead and seeing the danger that you might encounter in the future, and that God might be closing that door for a purpose. So all things work for good to them that are called of the Lord and according to his purpose. So there are some times that the hardship is going to be good for you. There's some times when suffering is going to be good for us. Because it is going to help us to mold the character that God has always been looking for. Are you listening to me? If you talk to Paul, he will tell you so many things. We read about what happened to Paul in Corinthians. You remember? It was you know, the things that he went through. 5 times he received 39 slashes on his back, and the experiences that Paul goes on, and he speaks to the church in Philippi, and he says that I am so grateful that you have finally brought help to me. But I don't want you to think that I am talking to you in that way or in that manner because I'm in need. Because in all things, somebody say all things, I have learned to be content. Praise the Lord. Whether you have food in your fridge, be content. Whether you have plenty in your house, be content. Be contented. And God is on your side. Praise be to God. So, those are the devices that we really do not go. And then we also noted it, that God hates complaining. He really hates it. You remember we talked about how Moses, can somebody remind me what we were talking about? When Moses brought the children of Israel from captivity, and God started giving them manna, remember? And the Bible says that they started thinking about the garlic and the meat and the things that they had in Egypt. And they said, oh, we received all these nice things in Egypt. We received meat. We received even bacon. We received butter. We received all these things from Egypt. And now this is manna that we see every day. Number one, they didn't even have to labor for it. In exchange in Egypt, they had to work in order for them to get the fish, the garlic, the everything that they got in Egypt. How deceptive the enemy wants us to see. And sometimes, you know, we have plenty and we complain out of nothing. Let me tell you another thing. And I wanted to mention this last week, but we didn't have time. Your brother is a member of your body. Your sister is a member of your body. Church, listen to me. I'm speaking to us right now. There are some times when I complain about people, when I see people maybe don't. I don't even understand. But God is helping me. By the way, this week I was also really tempted in that area. And I found myself attempting to complain in my heart. There are certain things that happen. I said, does this person really understand that, you know, I'm involved in this and in this and in this and in this and that they're still pushing me to do this? But I said, God, remember what I spoke last week. You hate complaining. And you know, I was reading, my wife reminded me last week about something I wanted to mention about, you remember Aaron and Miriam? Do you know what they did? How many of you know? They actually, it's in the Bible. I can't remember. I think it should be in the book of Numbers, chapter number 12, whereby Aaron and Miriam, Moses was married to the woman who was actually a neighbor to Kenya, you know, on the northern side, the Ethiopia. Yeah, she's just close to her home country. And she got married to a woman, and she, you know what they said? They said, ah, and Moses was not even hearing. They said, ah, Kwani, is Moses, is he the only one who hears from the Lord? Kwani, God cannot speak to us. How, did he even hear from the Lord to marry that Ethiopian woman? Moses was not even aware of it. But the Bible says that God was so, he felt so bad about them speaking about Moses and about what he had done. You know what they told? They said, hey guys, come into the tent of the tabernacle. They told them, this is exactly what God told them, that when there is a prophet, are you listening to me? When I have raised up a man of God somewhere, I speak to him in visions and in dreams. I use him to propagate my gospel throughout the universe. How dare you speak about my man servant Moses? And immediately, the Lord, the presence of the Lord left from the tabernacle. And as he left, Miriam was struck with leprosy. Moses was not even aware that there, and that was his sister. He was not even aware that they had spoken against him. And they had now to start praying and to intercede for Miriam. If there's one thing I would really want to sound a warning to you, church, including myself. Anybody that talks about a man of God, anybody that talks about a sister or a brother, pray for them. Because you know what? God really may not really bring leprosy to them, but you might have some other forms of leprosy in terms of hindering your ministry, hindering your progress. You'll find yourself timing or things happening in your life and you wonder, why are things happening to me? It is because of here. Let your mouth, I dare us in 2014 that our mouths will be used to bless other people. Church, are you listening to me? Pastor Tony, are you listening to what you're saying? Yes, sir. My mouth is going to be used to bless people in 2014. I dare you to attempt it. And you know what? It's not going to be an event. Oh, you're not going to call us in your house and say, oh, come, let us celebrate. Now I have succeeded in, I'm always blessing people. No, it is going to take, it's not only going to take a change. Listen to me, church. It is going to take a transformation. Somebody say a transformation. Romans 8 says, be ye now transformed by the renewing of your mind. It is going to take practice. Oh, I really feel like Brother Tony is really doing, no, it's not really doing me as doing me a disservice. But God, your word says that I need to bless him. I bless him. I pray for him, Lord. Strengthen his feeble knees. Open up his eyes so that he may be able to see how you want him to see. When you begin to do that, my goodness, God is going to put some propellers on your body. You're going to be flying close. You know, the things that have hindered you, the things that have stalled in your life, you'll be flying over them. And listen what the Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. I really want to go so quick. You can say, oh, pastor, those are things that happened in the Old Testament. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, but I came to do what? I came to fulfill it. Praise the Lord. So Jesus says, if you would say, like the people who would say, you know, like people, I see people, my name is Tony Wenaina, and I approve of this message. You know what Jesus would say? Oh, I'm Jesus, the Lord, the Christ, the Messiah, and I approve of this message. So in other words, he is the bridge. He said, I did not come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill it. Are you listening to me? So Jesus, in Jesus' time, the things that we are talking about here are really, really, really important. Very quickly, my topic today, shift focus from yourself. Somebody say, shift focus from yourself. Can you say that? Shift focus from yourself. Shift the focus from yourself. Now, if you live in America, I know you've had this crochet which says, everybody for himself, Do you live here in Dallas? Everybody for himself. That's, thank you, Ben. You live in Dallas. These are the people, you know, they live in Oklahoma. They just come to. Anyway, that's a cliche that people have mooted because this society is so self-centered. Everybody thinks about themselves. Everybody thinks about how they can develop themselves. But that is not what God intended. Are you listening to me, church? They say everybody for himself and God for us all. Now, I know if you are tuned to watching news, you have heard things that people have done, selfish things. I read of one article whereby I heard that a policeman, out of nothing, he found a homeless man who was actually sick. He had some sickness in his head. And they just started talking. And after they were talking, the policeman just got so angry and he's just beating this homeless man. And within a few minutes, the man died. You know? You've heard of a story of how a man abducted 10 women. Was it 5 or 3 women? 3 women for 10 years. He was just fulfilling his desires on these women. For 10 years, they could not escape. You've had news. I mean, you listen of news every single day. It's like these shootings. People just get angry, you know, out of nothing. And they shoot people in the mall. They shoot people in the grocery stores until everybody. I was reading an article on CNN. People are worried. You know, they're kind of like you're almost getting into a store and you're just wanting to look who is your neighbor because you don't know what they're carrying. We need to pray for our society, church. Is that people are so self-centered. People have gotten into this mode whereby people think about themselves and now they get into a depressive state because they think about themselves so much until things have gone out of line. Praise be to God. Now, what is a selfish behavior? Selfish behavior is an act that lacks consideration for others. It is an act that seeks one's own personal profit or pleasure. Now, I want to pose a question to you. During the course of your day routine, do you see or do you witness people just doing things selfishly? Like one time I'm just like most of you. I know you're laughing. You're going into a mall, you know, like especially during December time, and there are very few spaces on the mall, and you find just somebody, you know, somebody you've seen a spot somewhere, but somebody knows that you're waiting on that spot, and maybe it had been you. And you say, that one is not coming, he's not getting into that. And you run, literally, actually, zoom your car through the parking lot so that you can take that spot. Selfishness. Huh? There are people who don't have even an idea of what they, you know, I've gone, sometimes I go to grocery stores sometimes. I find like I was going sometimes, I really wanted to buy something, I think in the grocery area. And let me tell you, and I don't know whether to say this because what I found, some people, God really need to help us. When you walk, take Walmart or any other store like somebody like you would want to treat. Don't pick up things, you know, you intended to go and buy sugar and you went and found, oh, I found this. This is a very nice inner garment that I need to buy. And you realize that when you're going to the sugar area aisle, oh, I don't need it. It is too expensive. Actually, I needed sugar more than this inner garments. And somebody leaves the inner garments there. So I'm going to buy sugar and I'm wondering now. Actually, it happened to me. Sometimes when I go, and I normally try to rectify the situation, you know. But this time I could not do that because, I mean, I didn't want to. I mean, it was really not good. So I'm going to the store one day with this brother, and I think he wanted to buy something. There's a brother who actually, there's a brother, most of you know him. And we're going and we're doing shopping. Oh, I need to buy this, I need to take this, I need to buy this. And when we got to whatever he really actually needed, he says, oh, pastor, you know what? I realized I didn't need this. I told him, no, we don't do that. You need to pick up that thing. I told him, you might hate me. Pick up that thing. We need to go to the aisle where you found it. Because somebody else is going to come and pick it up and correct. Why should they correct your mess? We are so much egocentric. You know, somebody will take care. Who is going to take care of it? You picked it up where it was well arranged. Why don't you return it where it was supposed to be? Now you're laughing because I know you've done that. May God help you and deliver in 2005. Is God going to bless us and trust you with big things if you cannot even take care of the little things? Huh? Do you remember when I talked about people pulling up their carts? You know, we change. Some of us need to be delivered. You're pulling up your cart in the shopping mall and you're putting it in the space where somebody's supposed to come and park their car.
Oh, somebody will come and collect it. I've had my growth. Come on, shame on us. Shame on us that we can do that. Return. There's a place called, please return your shopping cart here. Do you, please? And it says, actually, please. It starts with the please and ends with the please. Don't you read that? It is little things. Let me tell you, when God helps us to practice in these little things, you are going to find yourself practicing in major things. I heard something from Mike Murdock one day. He used to say that, oh, so when somebody used to write me an email, I normally write, like, you know, I return it and I don't care about the spellings and everything. And then he said, no, wait a minute. The email that I'm sending to that person represents me. So he has to correct everything, grammatical errors, so that when you can, because you know, some of us, you know, maybe are not really that sensitive. But I try to make it a representation of me, you know? You know, some of us just type, and you know, with nowadays computers, you might type a word, and you never corrected it, and somebody say, what was this guy thinking? Okay. I don't even know why I say that. Okay, now listen. There are people who give their lives for the sake of others. I found out that John Wesley, he helped to organize and form societies of Christians throughout Great Britain, North America, and Ireland, as small groups that develop intensive personal accountability, discipleship, and religious instruction among members. Today we read about John Wesley. If you study about what John Wesley did, he was not only a prayer warrior, but he was a great organizer, somebody who gave his life for the ministry. You read about Nelson Mandela. He was in prison for 27 years, 27, and was ready to die for the fight against apartheid in South Africa. Martin Luther King Jr., you know what Martin Luther King Jr. did? He organized, you know, nonviolent movements for the sake so that he would liberate America. Today, some of the fruits that we enjoy, that you can go into any place and be given a job just as any other person in America, you have the same rights, is just because of what one person, he denied themselves for the sake of others. Praise be to God. So we thank God for this army. The U.S. Army, you know, for those of you who have children in the U.S. Army, they sacrifice their lives for the sake of humanity. For the sake of the freedom of that country. Praise be to God. And even at Empowerment Christian Center in 2014, we have decided that our shift will come a little bit from ourselves and shift it to others. We have now started, Tony, we have started supporting some children in Kenya through a World Vision. We are right now supporting a ministry, you know, sending a little bit of money. We don't have like a lot of money, but you know, how many of you know that sometimes you just need to send a little bit of something? We want to shift the attention from ourselves to other people. Let me tell you guys, when we have this mentality that it is not about me, Jesus Christ on the cross was not about himself. Praise be to God. It was not about himself. He shifted his attention to save the whole humanity. Bible says that he became sin, one who never knew sin. Are you listening to me? For God so loved the world that he gave. That's a word. God so loved the world that he, not about himself, he gave himself to us. Are you listening to me, church? Very, very beautiful. Very, very beautiful. And then the Bible says, greater love has no man than this, than a man gives up his life for his friends. Now, I'd like us to read Luke chapter number 10, please, in some very, very quickly. Luke chapter number 10. And then we almost done. Luke chapter number 10. Can somebody please read it? Pastor Julius Kimani, can you read that for us, please? Luke chapter number 10, 25 to 37. Real quick. Yeah, did you read up to 37?
Oh, but wanting to justify himself, go and do likewise.
Praise the Lord. I read that story and I was feeling just goosebumps going through me as I was preparing for this text. And I was thinking about the story of the Samaritan, you know, the good Samaritan, and about how Jesus... You know, sometimes, you know, when we grow up, we hear the word of the Lord and you think, who is your neighbor? Maybe if you live, like I used to live in 7029, I think, Ravada Drive in Arlington, Texas, you think that your neighbor is 7029 or 7030, 7031. That is your neighbor too.
But Jesus is not talking about that kind of a neighbor. A neighbor can be a person that you do not know. Amen?
And this story about the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, is self-explanatory.
Actually, in the book of Matthew 22, 37-40, particularly on verse number 38, this is what he says. He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with your entire mind." Now, 38 says, "This is the greatest and the first commandment." Praise the Lord. And he said also, this is Jesus, the words of Jesus, and he says, the second commandment is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." 40, it says this, "On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets." On these two laws hang all the laws of the prophets. In other words, all other laws stream out from these two laws, that you shall love the Lord God, your God, with the whole of your heart, with the whole of your soul, with the whole of your strength, and that you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Praise the Lord. On these two laws hang everything. And we have read also in Matthew 5 that Jesus Christ came to ratify the law. He didn't come to abolish it. So in Jesus' times, he would still say that I approve of this message. Praise the Lord. When we shift our attention from ourselves in 2014, it could be you think of supporting a child who is a widow. You might be thinking of somebody that you might even never know. God will give us those opportunities, church. He will give us those opportunities. And let us not shy away from those opportunities, because not caring for somebody else or not loving somebody the way we love ourselves. For example, I can ask ourselves this question. How much do you love yourself? Yeah? Let me ask you this, Brother Joe. Would you want to see your left foot just disconnected from your body? But you know, sometimes, I'm not saying you, but you know, sometimes we might wish somebody doesn't even have a leg. Not here in the church. That's why you're saying, oh. Do you know that when somebody picks up a gun and shoots you and decapitates you, and he's not even aware that you're a father, maybe to your children or a mother who has children, in his heart, even though he doesn't know it, that's exactly what he's wishing. You know? But Jesus said, love your neighbor as you would love yourself. Do to somebody else as you would want, as you'd have them do to you. For example, Tony, what would you want pastor to do for you? For example, you know, apart from just, you know, caring for you, loving on you, encouraging you, wishing you good things. Are those not the things that you would want? You would not wish that, I wish pastor can come with a matchbox and burn my own house. You would not do that. So those things that you wish for others to do for you, that's exactly what Jesus says. Also wish, do those to those other people. And it might be people that you may not really know. Are you listening to me? Very, very powerful. Keys that are going to propel us in 2014. Now listen to this. This is really, really good. I read it from I wish some of you can get it. Now, this is from a professor from a Wharton School. He's one of the world's leading business schools. And he has devoted himself in the past 2 decades to studying people who practice high levels of giving in their lives. And he has written a book. This is the name, Give and Take, A Revolutionary Approach to Success. Okay? His name is Adam Grant, ADM, like Adam, the first human being on earth, and Grant, Grant. This is what it says. Grant argues that a substantial body of research shows that people who generously give to others, who he calls givers, are happier and more successful than both those who merely seek to match what others give to them, and takers, who every action is calculated by their own self-interest. According to Grant, neuroscience evidence shows that giving activates the reward and meaning centers in our brain. Did you hear that? When you give to other people, when you give, love other people, when you do to other people more than, you know, what you'd want them to do for you, it is not just a spiritual experience, but God has activated it so that it works on your brain. It releases a chemical.
Oh, I love this. Thank God for these professors. According to evidence, that giving activates the rewards and meaning centers of our brains. These benefits are not limited to giving money. So it's not just giving money. I'm not talking about just giving money. It's giving your time, giving your encouragement to another person. They also show up for giving time. One study of more than 2,800 people, 2,800 Americans over the age of 24 showed that volunteering predicted in when they predicted that they were going to volunteer in a work or something, it increased, it caused there to be an increase of happiness, life satisfaction, and self-esteem. And it decreases in depression. A year later, other studies show that elderly adults who volunteer or give support to others actually live longer. Did you hear that? Just that same concept. These are the two commandments: loving God, you know, with the whole of your mind, your strength, and with your whole of your body and everything, and loving your neighbor or doing to others as you would want them to do to you. Okay? Now, this is what he stipulates. He studies one guy called Kevin Lyles. Kevin Lyles worked as an intern for free for Damn Jam Records and rose to become its president. As an intern, Lyles was the first to arrive at work and last to leave. As a promotion director, Lyles was responsible for one region, but went out of his way to promote other regions too. Grant says everybody started to look at Kevin Lyles as a leader because they all looked to him for direction. He gave until couldn't leave without him. Did you hear that? Is there an instance whereby you're going to love people until they say, oh God, I wish so-and-so is here because he is so loving, he is so giving. You know, he gave and he was not paid. He gave until people could not live without him. What are your challenges in 2014? Can you plan to have goals for your family even in 2014? Can we begin support maybe an orphan, a widow out there who doesn't even have any help? How about, you know, starting something that you can say, you know what, I dedicate about $15 this every week to support somebody who is in need. Shifting your attention from yourself. God is going to bless us when we do that. And I'm sure this is just the beginning. What you have started in Empowerment Christian Center. My prayer is that God is going to endow us with a lot of money so that we can support as many children as we can. Because when we shift our attention from ourselves, God sees it and he rewards it. Praise be to God. I'm just about to conclude. Galatians 6, verse number 10. Write this down. You can go read at home. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith. Bible, Paul is writing to the church to the Galatians, and he's admonishing them. Whenever you have an opportunity, let us do good to everyone. Think about how you can improve somebody's life. Think about how you can encourage somebody. There are people, even in our congregation here, who are going through tough times. And sometimes, you know, you might find the only way opportunity you have, you might say, find somebody. Every time this woman is just so silent, it looks like there's somebody troubling her, you know, or it could be a man, you know, you might be aware of what they're going through. Just pick up the phone. Do you know sometimes you don't even need to encourage, especially we men, we think sometimes we can solve every solution in the world. And somebody might be just calling you, oh, pastor, I need, you know, they just need a listening ear. You say, yeah? Oh my goodness, God is going to come through for you. You know, many people just need an out somewhere to pour out their frustrations because God has created us to be social beings. Amen? Are you listening to me? Let us be aware of the devices of the enemy. Let us be sensitive to the needs of others. You know, you might be going through a situation and you know, I'm the one who has for example, we call each other, we've thrown him many times. He might be having a need and he knows that when he calls me, I might give him a solution. Is that not true? You know what? I call many of you. Sometimes I really want to know, Pastor, what are we going to do about this? I don't know how the answer. But you might speak one word that might enlighten me. That's how we are made for each other. So do not withhold your help. And especially when you know it's going to benefit other people, do not say, oh, I'm going to give that information so that they can overtake me. No.
That is a natural mind, the natural mentality. When you help somebody, you are boosting, because you know what? God will come and use somebody also and come and push you forward. So when you know that you have information, Kent,
we talk with each other, Kent, he calls me, Pastor, I need you need to tell me how I need to do this.
When I help you and you also help me, God is going to get somebody from somewhere and he's going to come and push you.
Are you listening to me? Thinking of other people just as we would want them to do for us. Okay. You remember about Joseph? I'm concluding now. Genesis 37. Remember what happened to Joseph? He was sold by his brothers, right? They did a cruel thing to him. At the time, it looked very cruel when you read it in Genesis verse number 7. But you go to 45. So many things happened to Joseph. And God elevated him to a place of honor. And when his brothers come to him and they realize that this is Joseph, you know what he told them? You need to hear this. In Genesis verse number 45, verse 5, this is what Joseph told them. But now do not therefore be grieved or that you sold me here, for God sent me here to preserve life. Amen? If it were other people, you know what you did for me? But Joseph never said anything. He said, do not be grieved. Are you willing to tell somebody, do not be grieved? I know you conned me of about so much money, and I went without money, but do not be grieved. It was good. God taught me a lesson. You know, I called you and you never came to help me out in my place. Do not get grieved, for God intended it for good. If you help me, I would have never seen the goodness of God. Are you listening to me? All things work together for good. Remember what we said? For good. Oh, for them that love and according to his purpose. There are sometimes God is going to withdraw help from other people so that you can see the Lord. Are you listening to me? Because sometimes we are so dependent on other people. Oh, I wish Pastor Francis can give me $100 to deliver me. I wish Julius can give me 50. But sometimes God is going to even put away Pastor Francis and Julius so that your eyes can look up. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Ambrose, man, I like it. Joseph, do not be grieved, for you sent me. If you never sold me, if you never found fault in me and put me on that dungeon and you never killed me, thank God you never killed me. You intended to sell me for slavery, but now I have saved so many people. God, my almighty, thank you, Jesus. And I've concluded. Amen. Just before Julius comes here, I'd like Sister Lorraine to run through something that I've seen online. I would like you to see those. Just bring the... Can I get the... Okay. Huh? The URL couldn't work? Oh, you can't display it? Okay, never mind. Okay, we are done. Can we stand on our feet? Thank you, Jesus. Are you being blessed? Thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you, I'm blessed. In 2014, let us determine that we shall see the Lord. We shall be sensitive devices of the enemy. And the Lord is going to say, lift up your right hand right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, God, even for this, my brothers and this, my sisters. I just want to thank you, Lord, for each and every one of them, their families, oh God. Father, in 2014, I pray for prosperity. I pray for divine connections, dear Lord. I pray for your opening of our eyes so that we may see you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Our hope and trust is in you. Father, we shall not fear men, because men, the fear of men is an entrapment. But he who trusts you, oh God, receives freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in 2014, we shall not fear men. In 2014, we shall not complain. Oh God, before we have learned that you hate one who complains. And we have also learned that serving you, God, this is not easy. We have to sacrifice ourselves. Today, Lord, we have learned about shifting our attention from ourselves. Help us, Lord, even to love others as we would have them love to us. To do to others as we would have them do to us. Oh God, to love you with the whole of our minds, with the whole of our hearts, with the whole of our friends. For in those two that you gave, hang all the commandments, O Father of the prophets. I thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I give you praise for these loved ones. And as we team up together to serve you, God, there's going to be a blessedness out of it. You might be here, never given your life to Jesus. And you want to say, today is the day that I'm giving my life to the Lord. Just lift up your hand. I'm going to pray for you right now. It would not be worthy for this service to end before you have surrendered your life to Jesus. Is there anyone of us? Is there anyone among us?
Father God, I declare your blessings over your people. Lord, may you promote them. May you give them favor in the name of Jesus. Remove the scales from our eyes that we may see the goodness of God. I thank you, Heavenly Father. Give you glory and honor. Protect, shield us, and lead us, O God, into ways everlasting to the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And somebody who loves him, shout a big amen. 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 Glory to Jesus. Pastor Julius coming. Give us honor.